and by satellite, SpaceNet 3, channel 21, and you have to manually change the audio to 5.8. Once again, if you're listening to this broadcast on shortwave and you have a satellite reception system, you should go to your satellite system now, go to SpaceNet 3, channel 21, to 5.8 audio. Now, if you want to, you can do that right now. I know there's a lot of you who have been writing, telling me that you've been listening on shortwave, and when you find out you have a satellite system and you could have been listening to this broadcast in the crystal clear, you get a little upset. So I thought I'd just lead off with that tonight.
Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Teach your eyes to look up, teach your ears to hear. Walk up to the corner where the coast is clear. And wait until you see the light turn green. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Keep your eyes to look up, keep your ears to hear. Walk up to the corner where the coast is clear. And wait until you see the light turn green. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block.
I hope you were listening to that, Pooh. I played that just for you and all the other children out there who are listening, and, of course, for the sheeple. Folks, it's open phone lines tonight. The number is 602-333-2174. 602-333-2174. And we're going to talk about whatever is on your mind, whatever you want to talk about, what you heard last night, our media proposition that we're engaged in working up here, or anything else for that matter. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you a quick question. What do you think about John DeCamp's book? Have you heard of that one?
No. Tell me about it. First, who's John DeCamp?
He's a state senator out of Nebraska.
Okay.
And let me close my door so I don't have my radio. Hang on.
Folks, whenever you call a radio station, turn off your radio.
I didn't expect to get through on the first call.
Nobody ever does. You never know when you're going to get through.
You got that right. Well, anyways, what the deal is, he started an investigation into a savings and loan debacle in Nebraska.
Oh, are you talking about the children thing?
Yeah, where they're using the guy from Boys Town, the kids from Boys Town.
I haven't read his book. I've heard about his book. I've heard about this. I've received countless letters, some of them 50 pages long, from some of these kids. We've been trying to investigate it. What we run into is that these children have, most of them have serious mental problems.
Yeah, you'd think they would.
Well, they do. And it could be because what they're saying is the truth. And it could be what they're saying is a result of somebody screwing around with their minds while they're undergoing some kind of mental treatment to go out and say these things. I don't know. And we haven't been able to come up with anybody who doesn't have these mental problems that we would feel safe working with. And one thing that comes to my mind when we're talking about this is if this were true, you'd think there'd be a lot of parents in Nebraska up on arms. I know if somebody was messing with kids in my town, I'll tell you right now, the parents in this town would be riding somebody out tarred and feathered.
Well, I used to live there when this was all going on.
Well, why isn't that happening there? Why aren't the parents up in arms over this?
Well, I don't think a lot of these kids had parents.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, parents are concerned with kids.
No.
It wouldn't matter to me.
When you're talking about Boys Town, you're not talking about kids that have parents or parents that even care about them. Or they're, like, for instance, we had this one guy I used to work with. His kid went to school one day and says, "I'm not going home. My dad beats me up so bad." So they had to put him in Boys Town.
Uh-huh.
He never wanted to see his parents again. So if
But it's not natural for people not to be concerned about children. That's not natural.
If they have contact with the children.
No, even if they don't. I mean, it's not normal in this country. And this country has always been the type of people who always have compassion and care for children.
Well, you're right. That's how they get us to go to war. They always tell us all this bull about who's killing someone's kids.
So what's happening in Nebraska? Why isn't this taking place?
Well, I guess you don't get my point. These guys that go to Boys Town, they're like orphans, okay? Or they're...
I understand that. What I'm trying to tell you is in this country, traditionally, it wouldn't make any difference if they were orphans, if they were juvenile delinquents, if they were kids that lived in the gutter and nobody knew who their parents were. In this country, we've traditionally had a tremendous compassion for little children, and we've always tried to help them whenever we could.
Well, you've got a point there, but when you've got, like he's in, you know, saying that the police chief, the guys in the FBI, William Sessions, there was this pedophilia ring in the FBI out there.
Well, wait a minute. That's allegations. It hasn't been proven as far as I know.
One of the things that Williams, when he was asked on CNN, you know, what is one of the things that, you know, some of the things you've really done for the FBI, he commented on that case that he settled that case because he said it would have been proven, you know, the FBI would have been in the wrong in that case, and that was what that was all about.
No. You can't say this. In this country, you have to understand this. This is the same thing that happened in Waco. Nobody is guilty until they're proven guilty.
Well, in this country, I hate to disagree with you, you're not guilty. It doesn't matter if you can keep yourself from going to court. You could be as guilty as sin. And, you know, what they did in this case was prosecute the people making the accusation. Because the guys involved were part of the newspaper. He owned the newspaper. They were high up in the Republican Party.
There's just something about this that stinks. I got to tell you that. There's something about it that stinks. All the letters that we've got and the things that we've looked into, it stinks to high heaven. And it doesn't stink because it might be true. It stinks because nothing about it is right.
Well, I tell you, where I come, like I come from Kansas City, right?
Uh-huh.
And I can tell you for a fact that the police chief, at the one time, the district attorney were both drug dealers. They both were into the massage parlor deal and everything. Well, people wouldn't believe it. They didn't. When then the savings and loan thing came down, and one of the Indian Springs State Bank was one of the biggest players in that savings and loan scandal.
Yeah.
People didn't want to believe it, and then the people that did have something to say about it ended up dead. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of people think nothing really went on or no one was really pushing drugs in the government there.
We all know better than that.
Yeah, but see, I also know for a fact that people, you know, a couple of judges and stuff like that are Satanists, and they do these types of things.
Now, wait a minute. How do you know they're Satanists?
Because I
don't want to see the Inquisition come back anywhere.
Well, you know, when you got people that are ex-Satanists that you're talking to, you got...
Wait a minute. How do you know that?
How do I know that? I know the people.
How do you know they're Satanists?
Because they were practicing Satanists.
How do you know if you weren't there? And if you were there, you're one, right?
No.
Then yeah, how do you know?
I tried to help them out.
Then tell me, how do you know?
If you ever hear of Deliverance Ministry?
No.
Well, you know, where you try to help people that were in that lifestyle, get out of that lifestyle, witches, and, you know, people that were like, you know, witches, warlocks, Wiccans, you know, whatever have you.
Yeah.
And they want to get out. Well, uh-huh. There's certain people like myself who help them.
Yeah. And so you're saying these judges came to you?
No, this was all part of it.
Then I'm going to ask you again, how do you know?
Oh, well, you think I'm not sleeping with the judges? I don't know. Or something like that? I mean, you're saying that these people...
What you're saying sounds like the Dark Ages to me.
No.
You heard a rumor, so the guy's a Satanist.
Well, when you go out to, when they show you some of the sites and find the animal carcasses laying around.
Finding sites and finding animal carcasses isn't proof that somebody with a certain name took part in it. I'm asking you, how do you know?
And I'm telling you from what these people told me.
I asked you if they came to you and you said no. Yet you say these
judges. You're talking about the judges.
That's who you said were Satanists.
Yeah. And these people were part of that cult.
So, and I'm going to ask you again, how do you know?
And I told you again, I got it from these people who were part of it.
And they said that the judges were there.
Yeah.
And you believed them?
Oh, absolutely.
Why?
Well, we've spent enough time with people and see what they've gone through. You talk about people with messed up heads.
Let me tell you something. We spend a lot of people in CAGI. In CAGI, we spend a lot of time with people with messed up heads. And one of the things that always rears its ugly head with these people is that they lie a lot.
Oh, I understand that. I've seen that a lot. I've seen people, you know, they make up all kinds of things. Well, it was just like this guy in Kansas City, Burdette. He was eating people, partially. He was taking these guys, and he went to prison. So they got him. One of the people escaped. Well, there were people down there all the time talking about it, telling people about it. No one believed him. Till finally, one of the guys that he was getting ready to murder had escaped from his house, and I knew about what this guy was doing. Would you try to tell someone about, hey, we don't believe it. Where's your proof? Well, finally the guy got away.
Well, unfortunately, you do have to have proof in this country, or you can lock anybody up that you want.
Yeah, but a lot of people got killed in between time.
Well,
because these people cover for each other.
Yeah, that's sometimes happens.
Talk about the Masons all the time, you know. I mean, how do you know everybody in Masonry or the Masons let each other off? Because you know Masons that have been involved in these things, and they tell you what's going on.
No, that's not how we know.
Another thing, you say all kinds of wild things with absolutely no proof.
No, we don't say anything on this program.
All the
we
time,
don't,
Bill.
No, we don't say anything on this
Perfect
program.
Example.
We don't say anything on this program that we do not have proof for.
Well,
do you understand what I just said?
No, you don't. You're not true. It's not true.
Well, okay, tell me something that we've said on this show that we don't have proof for.
You've never proved that Tom Valentine's a Mason.
Yes, we did. And if the people who we proved it with will call in on the next few phone calls, we'll prove it to you again. Evidently, you weren't listening that night.
No, you just said they said. You don't.
No, I didn't say they said. The guy called in who did it and said it on the air on this show.
So what? You have the same amount of...
Go back to bed, you stupid creep. Boy, where do these stupid fools come from? Why don't you listen to this show, you idiot? You're lower than any sheeple that I've ever heard in my life, and I hope to hell that you don't succeed in bringing back your little Inquisition. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, right on.
Turn off your radio.
I got it down. Okay, it's off. The reason I call is about the media. I know you're getting a little upset with that last caller. I have an idea about, you know, you wanting to get across to the people of this country. And I don't think buying stocks in the media will do it. I think you already have a satellite audio. Wouldn't it be better to produce, you know, like videos or an actual channel?
No, you have to reach great, great numbers of people to make change come about. And the only way to do that is hit the media that they watch or that they read.
Well, I understand that. It's just that I think we try to do something like that, they're going to squash us like a bug.
No, now you're a defeatist. How do you know? You've never tried it.
Well, I just, you know, I live in California, and I see how...
Well, that's...
I wish I never lived.
Get out of there, man, before you get swallowed up.
You're exactly right. I've got to be able to afford to get out of here now.
All you got to do is get on the highway, put out your thumb, and somebody will take you somewhere.
That's true. But, you know...
And there's jobs everywhere. Don't let these people fool you. If you want a job, there's always a job anywhere you go.
Well, I'm a craftsman, so I can work anywhere.
Wonderful.
But, you know, you have audio, and, you know, I would be more...
The only people who listen to this audio are people who are wealthy enough to own satellite systems, and almost nobody in cities have satellite systems because they have zoning codes that restrict their use.
True, but
and only 25 million people in this country have shortwave radios. We've already done the research, and most of those shortwave radios are in somebody's closet. They're not even being listened to.
Oh, I started out on a little tiny one and went out and got a different one and made my own antenna.
Yeah, but we have to reach people that are already tuned into something.
Mm-hmm.
We have to reach them through what they listen to and what they read, and that's the establishment media. Like it or not, the sheeple... only listen to the establishment because they think the establishment is telling them the truth. So we have to get in there somehow.
Well, I was just going by, for example, the video on Waco, the big lie. It has moved through...
No, it hasn't.
...that don't even listen to shortwave.
No, it hasn't. Let me tell you something. I know exactly how many of those videos have been reproduced. I know exactly how many of them have been produced and sent out. And I know how many copies you can make from one video. We have not even reached 0.5% of the population of the country with that video. I guarantee you.
Well, wouldn't that make you more like to think like, you know, to produce more videos and flood the market with them and get people interested?
You don't understand. We can't flood the market because we don't own the market, and the establishment market won't touch it.
Because they're too scared.
Not that they're scared. They're part of the establishment that says the establishment sucks. So they don't want a video that says the establishment sucks. They're part of it.
That's, yeah. Well, I just, you know, I just, because, you know, I watch, you know, like I bought some of that silver, that junk silver that Great America, or Swiss America was selling.
Uh-huh. So did I.
And, you know, I talked to a friend of mine. He got some, too. And word of mouth is the best advertisement. And if you get people interested in a video or a program that's on satellite, and people can afford it. You know, my brother has satellite dish, and he can't afford it. He's got 5 kids, and he really can't afford it.
Do you know how many people in this country have satellite dishes?
I have no idea how many.
I'm going to make that your homework assignment. You can call us back tomorrow night and tell us what you found out. What you're going to find out is what you perceive just isn't true. And the best advertising is by word of mouth, yes, in a small town. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Well, I appreciate your efforts.
Well, thank you very much, and appreciate your call.
I listen wholeheartedly every night, even if I don't agree with everything.
Well, you don't have to. Nobody asks you to agree. In fact, you know what I always say, don't even believe anything that you hear here unless you check it out for yourself.
Well, that's one thing you got going over Valentine's.
Well, that's one thing I got going on over everybody, because everybody else has an agenda and they're trying to shove it down your throat, and I'm not. I'm just trying to wake you up and make you realize that reality may not be the way that you perceive it. And if we're all looking for the truth, and we all do our own research, and don't look for somebody else to tell us what to believe, then eventually we'll all arrive at the same truth, because the truth is the truth no matter what.
Yeah, it's like gravity.
That's right. You got it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Cooper.
You're welcome. Bye. Thank you for calling.
Hello, amigo. I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say bananas have to ripen in a certain way, and when they're flecked with brown and have a golden hue, bananas taste the best and are the best for you. You can put them in a salad, you can put them in a pie, any way you want to eat them, it's impossible to beat them. But bananas like the climate of the very, very tropical equator, so you should never put bananas in the refrigerator. To have bananas that are fully ripe, you must be absolutely sure to take them home and let them ripen.
Oh, sure. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello? Must have hung up. Folks, if you call in and we're talking or hear music or something, just stay on the line. I've got you on hold and you should be able to hear. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Ms. Cooper?
Yes.
Hi. How you doing, Frank?
Yes,
I was going to talk to you about that media buyout thing that you were discussing on the air. I'm a fairly new listener, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And I agree wholeheartedly. It sounds like a good way to disseminate information. However, the one thing about going with something like the Star or the Inquirer is I would wonder if that would have a tendency to reduce the credibility of Kaji or something like that, because most of the people that look at those magazines don't really look at them. They look at them for the sensationalism, not necessarily for information.
You know what? They're exactly the people that we're looking for. They're the sheeple. They're the ones that are lost. And not only that, but these magazines, the National Enquirer, the Star, and the Weekly World News, are at every checkout counter in every grocery store in this country, and a lot of the convenience stores and 7-Elevens and things like that. And even if they don't buy a copy, everyone who stands in that line stands there and reads the first page. And if you don't believe me, go to the supermarket, just stand back and watch them. It doesn't matter who it is. If it's a truck driver, a housewife, a lawyer, a doctor, no matter who it is, they'll read the front page of every one of those as they're going through the checkout line.
I agree with you on that as far as that goes, but I was wondering, somebody else brought this up the other night, and they were discussing the possibility of getting into, like, Gannett, like in USA Today.
Uh-huh.
Of course, there again is also something where on every street corner you see this big box with the front page and
USA Today, yeah.
And,
yeah, that's one that we're strongly considering, by the way.
I would think personally that would be a good way to go, but one other question I had real quick is, what does CAGI actually stand for? I mean, is it the abbreviation for something? Or?
It's the Citizens Agency Joint Intelligence.
Okay, because being, like I said, I'm a new listener, and I'm going to write off to you and try to get one of your information back. If you're
okay, right. Great. It's the it's an organization that encompasses people who belong to all walks of life, all political persuasions, all occupations. We have people, we even have, I'll say this, and it might cause a witch hunt in the FBI, but we even have people in the FBI, members of CAGI. We have members in just about every agency of government, all the military services, all the different occupations across the country. We even have unemployed people, truck drivers, you name it, we got them. And because of this, we have an incredible flow of information that comes through here that we sift through and analyze, and we're always assembling two puzzles. One is the deception, and one is the truth. And we don't bar anybody from membership. We do perform background checks on people just to find out who the players are. We know that some people will join our organization just to feed us disinformation, lies, hoping that we'll believe it. And so we like to know in advance who's most likely to do this. And sometimes it fools us. Sometimes the people who should be feeding us disinformation are actually disenchanted with the organizations and the political viewpoint they've had before, and are actually doing a good job. So, but it does help to know which people are most likely to feed us which pieces to which puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Well, mainly I just wanted to ask that point about the credibility part, and I'm probably going to get your address on the next commercial break the next break that you take.
Yeah, we'll give it some time during the show. You should always have a pad of paper and a pen whenever you listen to the hour of the time, because you never know what we're going to say that you're going to want to write down anyway.
Right. Well, this is only about the third time I've actually had a chance to listen to your show, and I've kind of got hooked on it from there. So I'll be listening every night from now on.
Great. Wonderful.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
602-333-2174. I might as well give out that address now instead of waiting till later. It's P.O. Box 1420, Post Office Box 1420, Sholo, spelled S-H-O-W-L-O-W, and it's two words, Sholo, Arizona, 85901. That's William Cooper, Post Office Box 1420, Sholo, spelled S-H-O-W-L-O-W, Arizona, 85901. And as one Sholo resident so astutely put it, Bill, how do you get your mail? There isn't any box 1420. And that's right, but if you send it to that number, I'll get the mail, folks. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, hiya, Bill.
Hi.
I just have a couple of questions. I wondered if you were familiar with the LaRouches at all.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Are you familiar with the book by Dennis King, Lyndon LaRouche and the New American Fascism?
No, I haven't read the book, but we've done our own research into the Lyndon LaRouche organization because we had a lot of people wanted us to join them, and we don't join anybody right off the top of the bat, but we did investigate to find out who they were. Lyndon LaRouche has a long, long history of socialism. And we believe sincerely that he is feigning that he is a conservative in order to try to get conservative help to get out of prison. And I think that once he gets out of prison, he'll go right back to his old Marxist ways.
Okay, now I'll tell you where I'm going with this.
Okay.
Tom Valentine, he makes fun of these people for protesting a statue of Albert Pike.
We don't. Go ahead.
Whom I've heard you talk about.
Yes.
Okay, he's involved with the Freemasons.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, Dennis King, the author of this book, he concluded when LaRouche was talking about the Babylonians and the ancient mysteries of the Babylonians. It was a code word for the Jews. Okay?
Why would he conclude that? Because the Jews were not the Babylonians.
Well, it's a rather long, I couldn't summarize it for you. You'd have to read the book.
In fact, the Jews were kept in captivity by the Babylonians for some number of years and then released.
Well, okay.
I believe it was 70 years, to be exact.
Again, what I'm wondering, the reason I'm calling, I had accepted that. I said, okay, LaRouche is an anti-Semite. Something I had not believed, but I thought was demonstrated in this book.
Uh-huh.
Until I started listening to your program.
Uh-huh.
And hearing you talk about the mysteries of ancient Babylon, and I don't think you're an anti-Semite.
Not at all.
Although
I have been accused of being anti-Semite.
I don't worry about what people are accused of. But seeing that the LaRouches were protesting this statue of Albert Pike, I just sort of wondered whether or not they're writing about the Babylonians and that sort of thing. You know, they were talking about the ancient mysteries.
No, I think they're trying to trap conservatives. They haven't gone into it as deeply as I have. And focusing on a statue of Albert Pike isn't uncovering anything that needs to be uncovered. It's a waste of time. Who gives a damn about a statue of Albert Pike? We need to be saving this country and identifying the enemy and going after them, not after a statue. I mean, that's a decoy. That's one of these things that gets patriots spinning around in little cul-de-sacs chasing their own tails. You understand what I mean by that?
Well, yeah, I suppose. I just wondered whether you shared certain, whether they were aiming at the same kind of things you were.
No, if they were, they wouldn't be aiming at a statue.
Only pigeons do that. Okay. All right.
Thank you
very much.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Thank you for calling. 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Hi.
Okay. I have 3 points. First of all, I was listening to Tom Valentine just to see what he's going to say about the outcome of the rally. And if a caller got on there and questioned him about the Masonic handshakes, and he actually said, "Oh, I wouldn't know that from a human being." Like chucklehead.
Well, let me say this, and you can tell Tom Valentine, he may be listening. Tom Valentine, if that's what you really said, you are a despicable liar, because I was standing there and many other people were standing there, and you don't do that handshake by accident. As anybody will tell you. By the way, we've had many people write us who said that up until the time that Bogreitz found out that patriots understood the significance of being a member of the Freemasons, Bogreitz also was giving the Masonic handshake to just about everybody that he met.
Yeah, that's true. And then one other thing you mentioned that somebody else, I don't want to waste a lot of your time talking about Tom Valentine on your show, but there was a question about Lyndon Thompson, supposedly she can't be contacted.
I just talked to her the other day.
Yeah.
She's a busy woman. She's a lawyer.
Right.
She's in court. She's got business to attend to. She's putting together militia packages. By the way, all of you out there who ordered militia packages, your orders were sent to Linda Thompson a long time ago. If you have questions about the militia packages, call Linda Thompson. Call her, because she has the packages. And I've been told that they're going to be getting them out, it was either this Thursday or next Thursday. I don't remember exactly which. But
yeah, that sounds excellent. Just one last thing real quick. I'll hang up, but could you give us a readout on what you think the economy might be doing next year or whatever? I feel like we're on the edge of a cliff. Over 300 and something thousand jobs every month are going. So
that's right.
That out. Maybe you can go into that maybe on another show.
Yeah, we're going to do another show on that kind of stuff. In fact, we got some exciting guests coming up, and we got some exciting things for everybody. We're making contracts with dried food suppliers for that you can stock for like 10 years, and it'll still be just as fresh as the day it was made. And everybody should, I believe, and I've recommended on this program a long, long time ago when we first began, almost 2 years ago, that everybody should have at least 2 years' supply of food and water. So we're going to be able to be making these available to you at affordable prices, much more affordable than you can get anywhere else. And we're going to be bringing some people on to tell you what kind of things that you should have in your house for first aid and all kinds of things. We met a guy in Denver, Colorado, who incidentally had the booth right next to mine. His name is Ken Lewis, who teaches people how to survive for long, long periods of time. Things they have in their house, and what this guy was telling me and teaching me, and what I saw him do with just a pair of shoes was amazing. So we're going to have him on here, and a lot of other good, fine people who are going to teach us how to survive in the coming terrible years, I'm afraid, that we've got in front of us.
Yeah, that's true, and the healthcare thing, that's just a scam to get the get those cards, electronic chip cards, into everybody's hands. They send me one. I'm going to smash one hammer and mail it back.
Me too. One more step into slavery.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, thanks a lot, Bill.
You're welcome. Okay. Thank you for calling. Once again, the address is P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona, 85901.
Once upon a time, there was an engineer. Choo-choo Charlie was his name, we hear. He had an engine and he sure had fun. He used good and plenty candy to make his train run.
Charlie says, well, my good and plenty. Charlie says, really ring the bell? Charlie says, well, my good and plenty. Don't know any other candy that I love so well.
Folks, if you have been sitting around wondering what's happening in this country, you're watching the value of the dollar decline. You're seeing people everywhere being laid off, losing their jobs. You're watching American industry leave the country. At the same time, you're scratching the head as the stock market continues to climb. And you have this terrible urge to protect what you have by investing in the stock market. And I'm going to ask you to do something else first. Call Gene Miller. He may be able to save you a lot of tears and heartache. Call Gene Miller at our sponsor, Swiss America Trading in Phoenix, Arizona. The number is 1-800-289-2646. Do it tonight before you go to bed. Leave your name and number. Ask for Gene Miller. Mention my name, William Cooper. Tell them that you listen to the Hour of the Time because our listeners get special treatment at Swiss America Trading, folks. So make sure that you do that. Call Gene Miller at Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. Remember, the only things in the history of the world that have protected the wealth of anyone in economic collapse, in economic hard times, during depression years, is precious metals. So, please, call Gene Miller. Do yourself a favor. Do your family a favor. Call 1-800-289-2646 and do it tonight. Do it tonight before you go to bed. If you're out of the continental limits of the United States, this is the number that you should call if you're in another country. 602-953-6000. That's 602-953-6000.
Oh, you need fluff, fluff, fluff. You make a fluffer nutter. Marshmallow fluff and lots of peanut butter. First you spread, spread, spread your bread with peanut butter and marshmallow fluff and have a fluffer nutter. When you enjoy, enjoy, enjoy your fluff and peanut butter, you're glad you have enough for another fluffer nutter.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Thank you, Bill. This is Mike. You know, Mike, I won't tell you where I'm from. You know where I'm from. But I want your listeners to know.
Have you got your radio on, Mike?
Yeah, I've got my finger in my ear, my other ear, though.
You got to turn it down because it's in my ear.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'll turn it down. Won't be a second.
Folks, let me say this again. I know you're all listening, but I don't understand what happens when you get on the air. When you call any radio station, turn off your radio, please. You there, Mike?
No, morning, Bill. Mr. Yeah. Cooper, I want your listeners to know that what you say is you have so much to say, and I've copied down the references that you've made from your CAGI contributors, and it took me about a week to trace down some of the info that that you sent on the air about the couple items. And here in Michigan, I had to go to about four libraries before I found and verified for myself some of the information that you talked about on the air. And I couldn't believe it. It was actually true. Documents, these government documents that were microfilmed and that are now law. And I've made many photocopies, passed them out to people at work and so forth, and the word's gotten out. And believe me, it's spreading.
Uh-huh.
And also, I think we have something in common. I'm married to a gal from Southeast Asia. I was there. And I remember you mentioned that you were going to take your wife around the States to show her the country. I did the same with mine. And because I didn't know what was going to happen, if I was going to go back overseas to take some more contracts over there.
Uh-huh.
So we are in empathy in that regards as well. Unfortunately, I don't know, unfortunately, I've been listening to you about Beau Wright's. I was kind of active, but I was very active on his campaign.
Don't feel bad. I was one of his biggest supporters, and back in 1989, I was probably responsible for getting probably millions of people to get behind him, and I regret that after I found out who he really is. So don't feel bad if you got conned, because he conned me, too.
Well, Bill, believe me, I really appreciate your program. I mean, a lot of us are very skeptical out here anymore.
You should be.
Who to trust, and like you say, don't trust anyone.
That's right.
Prove it to yourself. And when you say it, you mean it. And you give the documents, and you say, go look it up. By golly, the folks better look it up, because it's true. And the guys at work, they can't believe it. I pass this info out to police stations, everything, you know, so that they understand what is happening.
Yeah.
And thankfully, you're another voice, hopefully, you know, a good, true voice, but of course, we can't assume anything.
You should not.
You know, and I'm glad you're on the air, and I'm glad I can catch you on shortwave. I can't always get you in clear, but thank you for being there, Bill.
Thank you for calling, and thank you for those kind words.
Semper Fidelis.
I'll go along with that, my friend. Folks, let me read this to you. This is from a newsletter that Pastor Pete Peters put out. Now, I don't have anything to do with Pete Peters or his church or anything. I just listen to him occasionally on the radio. I had nothing to do with this newsletter, but I want to read it to you so that you'll know that I'm not the only one who knows this stuff. He says, and I quote, and remember, this is him speaking. He says, quote, I believe that Beau Wright still works for the United States government, more specifically for the CIA and FBI, against the white power movement. For example, earlier this year, the Napa, California Sentinel published copies of cable traffic sent in 1992 from the United States Embassy in Guatemala City to the United States Embassy in Bangkok, which identified Jim Greitz as an informant and operative of the United States government. Beau Greitz is also known as Jim or Jimmy. The mere fact that Greitz admits that he was called in Phoenix by FBI and that he wore an FBI wire is all the proof we need that he operates for the FBI whenever he is told to do so. Greitz now says he is moving to Sandpoint, Idaho, which is the heart of this country's so-called white bastion. In practically every radio interview or public appearance over the years, Greitz has repeated the peculiar phrase, quote, when I put my heels to the square, unquote, or, quote, when I put my arm to the square, unquote, referring to his taking an oath to defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Not having served in the United States forces, I asked a veteran friend if this expression were commonly used. He said he'd never heard it, but that he had been regular Army and that Greitz was Special Forces. I pointed out that these expressions are used by Freemasons secretly to alert others in the Brotherhood of their membership. It is quite common as well for career military men to increase their possibilities for promotion by becoming Freemasons. On 12 September, at the Tustin appearance, Beau Wright said suddenly, with no reason, quote, "I'm not a Mason," unquote, in reference to the diabolic and Masonic nature of the government's activities. But at another appearance in a different state, Grice admitted that he is a former Mason. I put this to another of his campaign managers, himself a Masonic dropout at the fourth degree, whose pastor told him to get out. He told me, quote, "Bo uses the Masonic handshake everywhere he goes," unquote. I asked him which level handshake. Quote, "I'm not sure, but he rubs the other guy's knuckle with his thumb every time," unquote. I told the man that Freemasonry is a criminal conspiracy at all levels. And I could go on and on and on. This is actually four pages about Bo Grice written by Pastor Pete Peters. I disagree with Pete Peters on his assertion that the white race is superior to all others and that they are actually the real Israel as mentioned in the Bible. Nothing could be farther from the truth. You see, the real Israel spoke Hebrew. There is not one shred of evidence in the Aryan or the Anglo languages that they derived from the Hebrew. On the contrary, they're not even close. The key to all peoples is in their language, and the root will always continue. There is no root of Hebrew in Aryan or Anglo language. In fact, civilization had been existent in the Middle East for thousands of years before the people in Europe ever became civilized. When the Roman legions went into northern Europe, all they found were terribly savage, backward tribesmen. So, I disagree with Pete Peters on that, but Pete Peters has a lot of other good things to say. And I agree with him 100% on old Bobo Grice. And believe me, he is a Bobo. And believe me, one of these days, when all of you out there wake up, you're going to eat him for breakfast. And where I come from, folks, that is Grice. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. I'm calling from Wisconsin. And I recently have started listening to you on the radio. And I have to say, you're a great patriot, and there are some things that are very hard to believe that you've written in your book, Behold the Pale Horse, which I just recently received from you.
Name some.
About the flying saucers and things.
You didn't read my book. I knew you were going to say that.
Why? What do you mean I didn't read your book? I've been going through it for the last, been a long time, in fact. I've been reading it, believe me. But I want to talk about something that nobody's been talking about.
Wait a minute. Let me clear this up.
Okay.
On the first page of that chapter, it says it's a hypothesis based upon a lot of information, a lot of research done by a lot of people.
What about the idea that you said that you saw the flying saucer coming out of the ocean or whatever when you were in the Navy?
I did. I didn't say a damn thing about aliens, though, did I?
No, you didn't say about aliens.
Okay.
But you did say that you saw a flying saucer. And so in other words, what you're basically saying is that the technology is there. It's always been there, such as Tesla and great people who have been suppressed, and most people don't even know anything about these people.
You got it, my friend. And at the end of that chapter, if you'll read conclusion number 5, I specifically and clearly and plainly state that I believe it's the greatest hoax in the history of the world to bring about a one-world government to oppose an artificial enemy from outer space.
I want to lead into this organization. Because the more I've studied them, I believe they're right on, and it's Neeltech. What do you know about Neeltech?
We've got a lot of information from them, but we haven't been able to get into it.
You haven't been able to get into it. Do you understand what it's about?
No, we haven't gotten into it.
Oh, okay, let me.
Do you realize how much information we get? We try to go to the heart of the problem in this country and not go off on tangents.
Okay, let me just tell you what Neeltech stands for. It stands for 100% integrated honesty. Okay, Dr. Wallace believes that there's two basic philosophies in the world. There's the Platonistic philosophy, which means wishful thinking. Wishing and hoping things were the way we want them to be, but no support of anything.
That's the secret society viewpoint.
Okay. The other one is the philosophy of reality, which is the Aristotle philosophy.
That's the hour of the time.
Okay. Now, in the beginning of man, as far as the Greeks, when Plato Plato was the one that came up with the idea of the Platonistic philosophy. He carried this thing through. When Jesus Christ was alive, the people of Neotech believed that Jesus Christ possibly, they believed basically that he was a hippie, that he was hallucinating, because they can support, there's a man, his name is Dr.
You know, right, you've already told me that they're off base. There is no proof whatsoever anywhere in the world, except in the Bible, that Jesus Christ ever even lived.
Okay, have you ever heard of Dr.
And you're telling me about absolute 100% honesty, and they're already off on a tangent.
Okay, there's a professor from Princeton University. This professor from Princeton University can show that man has evolved. His brain has evolved. And at one time, we had what is called a subconscious mind, and then we eventually gained a conscious mind.
I got news for you also. There is no proof for evolution either.
Well,
there isn't any.
If you studied this book about the bicameral mind.
I have that book. I have studied that book. I've studied many other books. There is no proof whatsoever to support the theory of evolution or the theory of creationism except the Big Bang, if you want to subscribe to that. I'm a Christian, by the way, and in my own research I can find no evidence whatsoever that Jesus Christ ever walked this earth except what's written in the Bible.
Okay, I believed in God and Christ all my life, Bill, until recently, and I'll tell you why I've changed.
No, that's not the point. What I'm trying to tell you is your Neotech is off base already. They're not practicing their 100% honesty. That's what I'm trying to get at.
They're not...
You're saying they have proof Jesus was a hippie. How can they have proof Jesus was a hippie when nobody can even prove he even lived? Not even the Catholic Church can prove that.
Okay, this is how they believe it. Now, you said you have the book. In the book, it talks about the early writings of man and how man used to think with the metaphors and everything, that the man didn't have the metaphors like we have today. You have to admit that when you get behind a wheel of an automobile, 50% of the things that you're doing, you're not even conscious that you're doing it.
Wait a minute. You're off base again. In the ancient peoples, that's mostly what they dealt with was metaphors. That's what myth is. Myth is a metaphor for what man perceives in nature around him in the ancient days. Jesus spoke in a metaphorical language. He spoke in parables. What are you talking about?
Well, I've studied this Neotech in depth, and the reason why I am convinced is more than ever before why it is the way they believe it is because if you look at the world, if you see the way things are, I believe...
You're not listening. You haven't listened to anything that I've said so far, have you?
Yes, I have listened to you. You have the support that Neotech is off base. I'm trying to say to you... The reason why I am saying what I'm saying is because about 7 years ago, I started realizing, you know, what was really happening in the world as far as, like, the suppression of medicine. I'm sure you know about Dr. Anton Beauchamp,
yes.
Dr. Wilhelm
yes.
Reich, and Dr. Royal Rice,
yes.
Dr. William Cook.
We've done a lot of programs on this show about suppressed medicine and all of those things.
Okay, now you ask yourself this question. If this is all true, then where have the churches been all these years? Why haven't they been out in the forefront in helping to educate the people so the people would know the truth? I ask this question.
My friend, the purpose of churches is to manipulate large masses of people and get their money out of their pockets.
I agree. And that's why I believe, that, and that's why I think Neotech believes, the idea that the problem that we have in this world is because of this suppression, and it's a means of controlling us. Religion, all this time, has been a means of controlling us. That's how we find ourselves with 40 million...
Wait a minute. Religion and churches are two different things.
Okay, they say there's at least 40 million people in America that are Christians. If you look at the Russians, do you realize that at one time... Before the Russians were taken over as far as socialism... That there was a large majority of Christians in that country. And the reason why they were taken over is because they were pacifists because of how the Bible is read as far as, and how we're taught as far as, you know, to obey the government and, you know, la-da-da and all this good stuff. And that's how come we find ourselves in this predicament that we find ourselves in right now.
No, it has nothing to do with religion, has nothing to do with being Christian. Christ didn't teach any of those things, my friend. And most people who call themselves Christians really are not. They found themselves in that position because they were just like the people in this country are right now, sheeple. Sheeple. They listened to what people told them and they believed it blindly. And because they did that, they ended up in a communist world. And we're fixing to undergo the same transition.
We certainly are. And
you can't blame it on Christians, and you can't blame it on Muslims, and you can't blame it on atheists, and you can't blame it on anything else. It's our fault, collectively, for being stupid.
Okay, if you look at the people today as far as education, they say that there's like a third of us that are illiterate. Why are we illiterate? Because I believe they purposely have made us this way.
How can they make us this way unless you agree to... Wait a minute, hold it.
Protestant schools.
Wait a minute. It has nothing to do with Protestant schools. It has something to do with parents who don't go down to the school to see what their kids are being taught and don't give a damn anyway, because if they did, they'd pull them out of those stinking schools and teach them at home or put them in a school that would teach them. It's called responsibility.
I agree with you, Bill, but also yourself. You went to a Japanese high school, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, you know yourself that they're more strict. You can't get away with the things like American kids can get away with. And it's not only that. It's what they're being taught.
But you don't understand, my friend.
And everything. I mean, you know.
Whoa. They wouldn't be taught that if the Japanese people were not responsible to ensure that it was being done. Americans just don't give a shit.
Well, okay. When you say Americans don't give a shit, I think Americans do give a shit.
Then why aren't they down at the school pulling their kids out of those schools and putting them in schools that will teach them or teaching them at home? I'll say it again. Americans don't give a shit, period. Or they would be doing the right thing by their children. They're putting their children in these schools and leaving them there so their brains will rot.
Your
they're getting what they deserve.
Bill, is a
democracy is a code word for socialism. I do not approve, nor have I ever approved of democracy. This is not a democracy. This is a republic.
Your idea of the stock is a good idea. I believe that it will work. I really do. And I'll bag you. I mean, I'm all for it. And I'm talking to people all the time. I talk on the radio and I talk all over about these things because people have to realize, you know, what's happening in this country, because things are happening so fast that if we don't get involved in our country, we won't have a country. And I want to say something that I believe is really important, and that is I have been on Tom Valentine's show, talk to Tom Valentine, and I don't care what you say about Tom Valentine and his show. I believe they are doing good. I mean, I'm not saying that I agree with everything that they stand for, but a lot of the things that they talk about is helping to awaken the American people. And I was on there, and I mentioned you, and I told them about you, and I suggested I said to him as far as this NAFTA thing, it's a 2,000-page document, and in this document, there's wording where if it's passed, our government will lose our sovereignty. The American people will no longer have a country.
You don't get the message. There's 365 days in the year. D.D. Kidd worked 8 months to set up Project 93 for the Fed. They could have picked any other day of the year for NAFTA. You, my friend, need to go back and re-examine your priorities and re-examine what you're thinking about, because you're lost. We've got about time for one more call, folks, and I'm not mad at that young man, but I'll tell you what, from listening to him, he is lost. He's going around in circles. He doesn't even know what this country is. He doesn't understand that we're responsible for the position we're in. And I've always told you, listen to everybody, read everything. I don't care if you listen to Tom Valentine, but just understand, he's not telling you who the real enemy is, nor is he giving you real solutions. Folks, get real. You're on the air.
Hey, Doug. I know time's short, so I'll make it quick. You had a pretty rough night tonight with some of these callers.
Oh, it's fun.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. Listen, I read your book, I've seen your tapes, and I know one of your main objectives is to get information out.
Right.
Okay, and I think that's great. One of the reasons I brought a short wait was just to hear you talk every night. I know you guys ask for a lot of information on a daily basis. You said that a few times tonight. And if you can take a little personal criticism, I listen to your show. You're on 5 hours a week. I don't feel like you're getting enough information out. I mean, most of the content, I mean, I work with it tonight. It just doesn't seem like we're really getting enough out of your program. You should be revealing a little more to us.
Well, I don't know where you've been, because for a year and a half, about a year and a half, it was every night was a taped program, was nothing but solid 100% information 5 nights a week. And you know what kind of letters I got and what kind of phone calls I got? Asking me to go live so that they could talk to me on the air.
Well, it's just funny. I think you should at least have a topic. But, I mean, I remember when there was a time when you would put out a warning saying that this program could be jammed at any time because the information was so vital. And it's been a while now. It's been a few months since you've had any really good content.
Where were you last night?
I missed you last night. It was a rare occasion.
Oh, my friend. Okay, go back to bed. Good night, folks, and God bless you all.
There's nothing like the face of a kid eating a Hershey bar. There's nothing like it you'll ever see. A face as happy as it can be. There's nothing like the face of a kid when he's munching on the greatest taste around. Hershey, the great American chocolate bar. There's nothing like the face of a kid when he's munching on the greatest taste around. Hershey, the great American chocolate bar.
Do you know exactly how to read and know the old world to do it? You unscrew it very fast. Does a kid who eat the middle of an Oreo first and there's a chocolate cookie outside for that?
See, there's so much fluffy cream between.
Aren't Oreo kids lucky? Aren't Oreo mothers wonderful?
Does a kid who eat the middle of an Oreo first and there's a chocolate cookie outside for that?
What do you want when you gotta eat something? It's gotta be sweet and it's gotta be a lot, and you gotta have it now. What do you want? Mismatch your way.